Well, friends, as we lean into the Word of God, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 13, and Brad is going to read our scripture for us today. Would you stand for the reading of the Word?
That day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him, and he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil, and yielded crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear."
This is the word of God for you and me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated, and as you are, let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you into this space. God, we don't have to welcome you because you're already here with us. You tell us that. You promise us your presence. And so, God, we simply tune our hearts to hear your voice today. God, would you mold us, shape us, transform us by the reading of the word? God, we ask these things in your precious and holy name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, do you have ears? Do you hear? Clint, do you hear the words that I'm saying to you right now? As I look up from my phone, as I've heard these frustrated words, I look up in a panic from my mindless scrolling on Twitter, X, Instabook. And I panic because I didn't hear a single word that my wife had just said for the last 3 minutes as she spoke to me. What she is asking is not whether I heard the words that come out of her mouth, and this is a regular occurrence. I have attention deficit blessing, much like you, Dan. Really, it's a problem of focusing on other things when I know I need to be engaged and locked in to the family that is around me, to the people who are closest to me. There are many other things that I could be doing, but in this moment, I need to pick my head up, open my ears, and listen. Don't nudge your partner too hard. What Abby is asking me is not whether I heard the words that she's saying. She's asking me whether I understood the words that she's saying and whether I will be there at 4 o'clock to pick up my son from school or not. As we look at this passage, Jesus ends his parable, his speaking to the crowd with the words, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." Now, if you were part of the crowd, we all know kind of the wrap-up of that because Jesus speaks to his disciples and tells them, explains the parable to them a little bit further. And we are privy to know that knowledge that we've been given, that beautiful gift, But if you were standing in the crowds that day and you had come just to hear this teacher teach and you'd heard that he says amazing things and that he does amazing things, that he heals miracles and has provided bread for thousands of people out of 3 fishes and loaves, you've come to this place expectant, excited to hear. And then Jesus gives this story with no explanation, with no meaning, and it just leaves you to hear it. And then he's silent for a while. He talks with his disciples for a moment and just makes you wonder, what in the world is he talking about? What's all the hype about this guy? He just told us a nonsense story. Who is the sower? What are the seeds? What is this soil that he speaks of? This is the way that Jesus, in Matthew chapter 13, spoke to the entire crowds. Separated from them, he's gone out onto a little boat, the crowd standing on the shore, and he just speaks to them in these riddles. What are you doing? You see, Jesus, he wasn't looking for a good Yelp review. He wasn't looking for a good attaboy, good sermon, pastor. Although it does feel good when you get one of those every once in a while. He was there to make them think, to make them question. Some, in that moment, would have walked away. In their confusion, they would have called it a wasted afternoon. This is nonsense. And just left. Others would have stood confused, but would have considered that an invitation. What Jesus was doing in telling these kind of stories was he was separating the crowd. The question he is asking to you and I today is, which part of the crowd are you? Which part of the crowd are you? Do you simply hear, or do you actually understand? Understanding is what the entire chapter 13 in Matthew's gospel is all about. If you go back and read the Matthew's gospel, you will find in all of Matthew's gospel the word understand 9 times in the whole gospel. 6 of those are found right here in this passage. You see, there's this back and forth discourse that if you follow the flow of chapter 13, you see Jesus is speaking to the crowds. And then after he speaks to the crowds, the disciples turn to Jesus, whether he comes out to them. It says that the disciples came to him. Whether they were standing on the shore and swam out to the boat to get a closer look, or whether they were sitting in the boat and they kind of shifted over and turned to him, we don't exactly know. But there's this difference, this contrast between those who are out on the shore and those who are seeking to understand. So Jesus teaches the crowd, and then the disciples ask him, God, why do you teach like that? And he begins to tell them. And then he asks, what does that mean? And then he begins to explain it further to them. And then he holds a hand out and he hushes them and he stands up again and he addresses the crowd. He says another parable. And then he gets off the boat and he goes into the house. And you know who follows him? The disciples. They follow him from where they are into the house. And they're like, Jesus, explain that to me. Because what did that mean? I don't even understand what that means, Jesus. And then he begins to teach them several other parables, just them and the disciples. Not to the crowds, but just them and the disciples. A contrast. Those who hear and those who seek understanding. Those who desire to know more, to understand the teachings of Jesus. when he explains this parable, the parable of the sower. He defines the good soil like this. But this in verse 23. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. In verse 51, he closes all of these parables with this one question to the disciples. Verse 51, have you understood all of these things? You see, the question that Jesus is asking the people, is asking us today, is not which soil are you in one of the four soils? Because oftentimes when we hear a message about which soil are you, the result of that sermon or that result of that question is either one of two things. Complacent comparison to say, at least I'm not that soil. I might not be good soil, but at least I'm not that soil. At least I'm better than them. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm better than them. I'm not where God wants me to be, but I'm better than them. And we just sit in that space saying, well, at least I'm not that. Comparing ourselves to one another as if this position, this soil that we are, is a solid place that we remain for our entire lives. Or the result of that sermon, which soil are you, is more results in moralistic striving. I just gotta do more so that I can level up, so that I can upgrade from this soil to that soil. I'm the soil with the rocks, and I want to be, maybe if I upgrade a little bit, maybe I'll be at a next level and I'll have less rocks or less thorns or less weeds, and I'll upgrade just a little bit, and I'm striving, and I got to do more to make myself good soil, and I have to do more, and I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. I need to pray more. I need to be at church more. And we get so exhausted with this moral striving, trying to make ourselves good soil so that I can have a greater blessing, so that I can have more prosperity, so that I can have more of the things that I want. That's moralistic striving. But what this whole chapter filters down to is, are you one who just hears, or do you understand? So the question that you ought to be asking, that I am asking as I read the scripture, is what does it mean to understand? It's clearly not simply just logging some knowledge in our mind like we understand why 2 + 2 = 4. There's something deeper than this. If Jesus is asking us, and this is the whole crux of the chapter, this is the reason why he is teaching, then it must mean something real and something significant and something important for my life. Well, thanks be to God that Matthew gives us 4 different soils. Each of these soils is teaching us something about what it means to not simply hear, but to understand. So if you are taking notes today, I've organized these truths about understanding that the passage lays out in each of these 4 soils in 4 different D's. I know you guys like repetition, so 4 different D's. Write these down. Desire, dwell, to delight, and to defer. To desire, to dwell, to delight, and to defer. Let's look at it. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you just to open them up and just follow along, because there's so much in this, so rich. I want you to be able to see it with your own eyes so that you can wrestle with it, so that you can wrestle with the actual text. Since we don't have screens, the Bible is our screen for today. So number 1, The first soil is the path. In verse 19, he says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This seed is the seed sown along the path. This is the one who doesn't understand at all because they simply walk away. The message is too hard. They reject the message because it's nonsense. They don't understand it. They don't get it. It seems too abstract. It seems too complicated. And so they simply walk away. Instead of drawing near and wrestling with it, they just walk away. They don't even desire to understand because they don't want his wisdom. They don't want his truth. They would rather make up their own truth. Because that's way easier to follow if I just make up my own truth, then I can do whatever I want and I don't have to change at all. And so, they walk away. And the evil one is quick to swoop in and say, this isn't for you. See, understanding, the beginning of understanding is to desire God's truth over ours. The beginning of understanding is recognizing that God's truth is greater than my truth, and so therefore I will follow God's truth, even if it means that I need to change something in my heart and in my life. Even if it means I have to go a different path than what I want to go, to understand. The beginning of understanding is to desire God's truth over ours. Instead of his word is too costly, his word is too harsh, we say, I submit to you. The beginning of understanding is to desire God's truth over ours. The second soil that it gives us and the second piece to knowing what it means to understand is found in verse 20, the rocky soil. It says the seed falling on the rock, on the rocky ground, refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. This person receives it with joy. They hear the message of the gospel, the message of the kingdom of God, and they receive it with joy. They don't just receive it, but they actually begin to change things about their life. They change the way that they speak. They change the way that they act. They change the way that they think, and it begins to draw on them persecution. So much so, they change the way that they operate in the workplace that people are like, what is going on with you? This person is, as we would look at them and say, they are transformed. This is not some spiritual slouch that just hears the word and then goes to work and nothing changes. That's the first guy. This guy is actually changing things about his life. He's actually moving for the kingdom, maybe even sharing the word. But when persecution comes, when trial or tribulation, when people start pushing back against the changes that are happening in this person's life, they collapse. They crumble. They wither away. They become ineffective. Joy that does not consider the cost has no lasting root system. It is simply enthusiasm. This person begins the journey, but they have nothing to sustain them. They are not continually connected to the river of life. Their root system is not buried deep in the presence of God, like Psalm 1 speaks of, where the tree bears fruit in season, where though the storms come and the droughts come, they do not wither. because they are sourced in the vine. They run with enthusiasm. They're excited, but they don't focus on the dwelling nature of God, what it means to dwell in his presence, what it means to be rooted in Christ. And so they fall away. But Jesus tells us that when we come and follow him, that we must consider the cost of what it takes to follow him. Matthew 16, he says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow after me. Matthew 10, as he sends out his disciples, 12 of the disciples, he sends them into the villages to share what of the kingdom of heaven. He equips them with the knowledge, with the cost of what it's going to take. As he sends them out, he says, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. They're going to tear you to pieces. They want to tear you to pieces. This is not some easy game that you're going out to do. There's real cost. But know that I am with you. He says, when, in verse 10:19, he says, but when they arrest you, not if they arrest you, but when they arrest you, when you get persecution, when people try to push back on the changes that God is making in your life, when they arrest you, don't worry about what you're going to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will be not you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. It's a recognition that if we consider the cost of what it means to follow Jesus, that whatever we get ourselves into, if we are deeply rooted in the spring of life, that he will provide what we need in that moment. If we try to go and do ministry and bring the kingdom about without the power of God, without the presence of the Spirit, without engaging in a deep life of devotion, then we will wither. We will fall away. To understand, as Jesus describes it, is to first and foremost dwell. To dwell in his equipping and sustaining presence. If we do not dwell in the presence of God, if we do not desire the truths of God and dwell in the presence of God, then we do not have understanding. Amen? Amen. The third soil that he gives us is the thorns, the soil of the thorns. Verse 22 reads like this. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. It doesn't kill it. It doesn't kill the plant. It just makes it ineffective. It gives it no fruit. The plant is still there. It's maybe indistinguishable between the plant and the weeds around it, because there's no fruit on the plant because the weeds around it have choked out its sustaining nature, its fruit-bearing nature. They receive the word, but they are not sustained by the presence of God. They begin to look for sustenance in other places, in other delights, in other vices, in other platitudes, in other successes, in other prosperity. They receive it with joy. They dig their roots down deep. They begin to dwell in the presence of God. But then in that dwelling doesn't actually source the action of their lives. The dwelling simply stays in the dwelling place, and it doesn't impact their lives. And so they begin to seek dwelling in other things. They begin to seek sustenance in other things that the world gives, and it begins to choke out their ability to bear fruit. They begin to blend in with the rest of the crowd. They begin to blend in with the people who are not following God at all. They're indistinguishable because there is no fruit. Understanding is to delight in Jesus alone, not in other things that might tempt you or desire your affection and attention, but to understand is to delight in Jesus alone. The fourth soil he gives us is the good soil. It's the soil that we all, as we read this, we see is the goal of the four soils. This is the one that Jesus gets excited about, is this soil. It's the soil that if we, as we sit here in a service, as we discuss with other believers, we're like, man, I want to be good soil. And that's it. The good soil reads like this, verse 23. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces crop, yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. Like the disciples in this passage, they hear a confusing word and all they can do is get a little bit closer to Jesus. They turn their posture towards Jesus and say, Jesus, I want your wisdom. I want your truth. Tell me what that means. Maybe they even went from the shore and swam out to the boat just to gain a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of wisdom. There's a delight, a longing to dwell, a desire to dwell with Jesus in those moments. And then he goes and teaches the rest. And then he comes back to the disciples and they lean in a little further and they say, God, teach me. I want to know more. And then he goes into the house and they're like, teach me. I'm going to follow you anywhere you go. The dust of your feet is going to be on my tunic. I just want to be close to you. So they come to him. They seek him out. They long for his wisdom. They want to understand, not because he has some secret knowledge to give them, but they simply want to be with him. They want to be like him. They want to be sourced by him. Not so that they can produce some exorbitant fruit. Not so that they can be better than the others. Because he doesn't promise that they are going to be great fruit makers. No, he is the one who produces the fruit. To understand what Jesus is speaking is to defer or to trust God with the fruit-bearing role in our lives. To defer. God, I trust that if I dwell, that if I delight, if I desire you, then you will do with me what you please. The results are not up to me. The results, church, whether this church grows or not, is not up to us. That is up to God and God alone. What he's called us to do is to dwell in him, to delight in him, to pursue him with all that we have individually and collectively, and the fruit is up to him. We defer that part of the growth of this church, the growth in our spiritual lives, the people whose lives are transformed by our witness, we defer that all to him. That is his role, his responsibility to understand is to recognize that my primary position, as John 15:5 says, is to abide in the vine. I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So friends, we ask the question today, are you hearers of the word? Or do you desire to understand? Do you desire to seek after the Lord? If Abby asks me if I hear. The words that she has just said. And yet I do not do what she has asked me to do. Do I actually understand? So church, as we leave this place, as we consider what it means for us to be understanders of the word, not just hearers of the word, let these four soils come up before each of our lives as a mirror. As a mirror into our own response, as a mirror into our own souls. Let this passage of the soils locate you in relationship to God. Let them diagnose that which you really seek in life, that which you really desire, that where you really dwell, that where you really delight. Maybe you've been standing on the shore this whole time, as you've heard these words and as you've attended church for many years, for decades even. And there's this barrier between you and the sandy shore and the boat that's out there. And you're like, I don't know if I want to cross all that. The call of this passage is to say, whatever the gap is, I want to come to you, Jesus. I want to learn from you. I want to understand your heart. I want to know your truth. I want to dwell and to reside with you. Friends, if we want to be a people who understand, very simply, all we need to do is to draw near, to trust in him and draw near. If our whole pursuit is that, the rest of what he will do is what he will do. That is our call. The fruit is his, the pursuit is ours. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let's pray.